Happy Monday, everybody. It is November 1st, the day after Halloween. So you're all stuffed from your Twix bars and paydays and that sort of stuff. And welcome to today's 3K12 Education Talk Radio. Monday, November 1st. I'm Larry Jacobs. We got a nice show for you today with my good friends from Rosen Classroom, Rosen Publications. Okay, Rosen Publishing. My good friend Rick Hazenjager is here. He's the VP of Curriculum Solutions for Rosen Publishing Group. He's brought with him two wonderful educators from the heartland, if I may. They didn't know that until I just said that. From Greenberg, Pennsylvania, we'll have Melissa Cecilski. I hope I pronounced that right, Melissa. You'll tell me. Who's a school counselor over at West Point Elementary in Hempfield Area School District in Greenberg, PA. All right, and then we'll go over to Michigan, have Marcy Carter with us. She's a behavior specialist at Northwood Elementary in the Parchment School District near good old Kalamazoo. I have actually been there. All right, so we'll talk about building a school-wide approach to social and emotional learning. And as you know, that's pretty near and dear to us because we're the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Education Talk Radio is the voice of our organization. A big part of equity is SEL, so much so that over at our website, which is ace-ed.org, where our magazine, Equity and Access, is, where we archive all of our podcasts, we have a link to our new website, which is called SEL Today. That's at seltoday.org, seltoday.org. There's a link over there. They link back and forth, ace-ed.org to seltoday.org. So please check it all out. We're going to talk about building a school-wide approach to social and emotional learning with these three wonderful people who I'm going to bring on right this very second. We'll start with Rick, who's a returning guest. Good morning, Rick. It's Larry here.
Good morning. Good morning, Larry.
How are you today, November 1st?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great today. Thank you.
And what the better day than November 1st, and actually Melissa and Marcy can attest to this with me, today is the day I go down to our local drugstore and I buy candy corn for 50% off. Okay, and the even better part is my wife will be away this evening, so I can eat it. The little orange pumpkins. I love those things. 50% off. Any drugstore in America, just go there. Trust me on this. Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. How are you today?
I'm just great. And Cecilski, did I do that right? Your last name?
It is pronounced Cecilski.
Cecilski. I'm sorry. I tried.
Yeah, that's fine. No problem. Everyone here calls me Mrs. C, so I get it.
Well, I'm just going to call you Melissa. Okay, is that okay?
Okay, that sounds good. Yep, perfect.
Good. Thank you, Mrs. C. I appreciate that. You're a school counselor, okay? So I love that. Down in, over in Western PA, Greenberg, PA, near Pittsburgh, home of the Steelers, okay? And I'm from the other end of the state originally, from Philadelphia. Okay, so I know you're...
Okay.
I can say... Again, I can say already I know you're an Eagles fan over the Steelers. Would I be correct?
I'm not too sure about that.
Remember whose show you're on here. I just warned
you.
Okay. Will
do.
And hi, Mercy. Marcy, how are you? Marcy Carter.
Hi. Hi, I'm well. I am well. You're well, yeah. I hear, too.
I am, as a matter of fact, even better this afternoon. I'll be high on candy corn pumpkins.
Candy corn, right.
I love it. It's really bad. It's nothing but sugar, but it's just, I love it. 50% off day. Okay, November 1st.
Yes.
It should actually be declared a national holiday, I might add, November 1st. You can go get your candy corn cheap. Okay, unbelievable. Right, Kalamazoo, I have actually been to Kalamazoo many, many, many years ago. And what I remember there was I don't know if it's still there. Okay, there was one of the first little cities with a pedestrian mall in the center of town. Is it still there?
I'm not sure where you're talking about.
I don't know either.
Our downtown area has a pedestrian mall there. That's probably what you're talking about. I love our downtown area. It's amazing.
Yeah. I'm telling you, pedestrian malls were not big things, and I'm talking about, I was there in the 1600s, so, I mean, I'm talking a long time ago, okay?
It was nice. Yes.
I remember,
yes.
Right near Battle Creek, home of Kellogg's, right?
Yes, home of Kellogg's, yep. There is such a place as Kalamazoo. I get
there,
asked that a lot.
There really is a place. That's a nice little city. okay? Good old Kalamazoo, Michigan. Okay, Rick, I want to start with you, okay? This show is thank you to Rosen Publishing for putting the show together for me. School-wide approach to social and emotional learning. And, Rick, I want you to put this into I can't think of the right word, into perspective, okay? You guys are a publishing house, but I know you believe very strongly in social-emotional learning, and you build that into what you do. And you're the director of curriculum, VP of Curriculum Solutions for Rosen. Just put that into perspective before we get into how they're doing it at their wonderful schools. Rick Hazenjaeger.
Yes, so Rosen has, you know, the history of our company is about 70 years ago we began publishing for children and teens, and we actually started in the guidance arena 70 years ago. So, you know, in this long history of publishing for children and young people's health and guidance is where we got our start. So over that time, about 12 years ago, we created the Teen Health and Wellness database, and it is one of the most used health databases for high schools and middle schools. So we've taken that expertise over time and brought it up to the current needs. So about 2 years ago, then we also took our younger children publishing and we created a program called Focus on Social-Emotional Learning. And it's a 30-week curriculum, and it's available in print or digital formats. And what we did is we took a literacy-based approach so that we could integrate social-emotional learning throughout the school day, and not just maybe that 15 or 30 minutes in the morning, but we can include it as a part of our guided reading time, that we can include it in small group. And then we also made it so that it could become a school-wide program so that communication home is fluid. And so if you have a kindergartner and a fifth grader in the same school, you're getting the same types of messages to go home to help support their children. So that's some of the work that we've been doing.
I didn't know a lot of that. I know you guys pretty well, but I didn't know that bit of history about all that. That's pretty interesting, I got to tell you. And you started off in the guidance area. And when you say health database, all right, what is that? How would you describe that? You mentioned that, but what is the format of it? What is it?
So it is a way that students in grades 7 through 12 are able to go in and view articles about whether it's health, you know, physical health or mental health. We have things in there for financial literacy and digital literacy and becoming great digital citizens. So it's about how do students make healthy choices in their lives. And so there's hundreds of articles. Students can submit their own content, so they can submit their own stories, and that becomes part of the database as well. So, and then we also have links and phone numbers to various hotlines, and those can be set up in a school site based on their local area. So we really provide the information that they need at that moment of time.
I'm pretty impressed. I didn't know you guys had all this. This is great. Is it over at rosenpub.com or rosenclassroom.com? Where is it?
So that would be teenhealthandwellness.com.
Yep.
And also at rosendigital.com.
Well, there you go. Rosendigital.com and teenhealthandwellness.com, right?
Correct.
Wow. Well, I just learned something. All right. This is amazing. All right. So now, thank you, Rick. I mean, really, I didn't know all that. All right, so you're terrific. All right, so now, Melissa, knowing all that, talk to me what's going on, okay, Mrs. C, okay? Talk to me what's going on over in Hemphill area school district where you're a school counselor at the elementary school at West Point, not the military academy, the West Point for kids. Yeah.
Correct.
Yes, thank you.
We have grades kindergarten through fifth grade here. And our school district actually, they just adopted PBIS, Positive Behavior Interventions and Support programs throughout our district. In the elementary level, we've done school-wide positive behavior programs in the past. So our focus has always been on positive behavior. So integrating SEL was rather easy for us. We've had many homemade programs. We've come up with our own themes and our own ways of delivering these programs to our students throughout the years. I've been here since 2005. So just this past year, we came across Focus on Social Emotional Learning, the FOSL program from Rosen. So because it's standard-based and it looks at the CASEL competencies, the five CASEL competencies.
Yeah, we work with CASEL.
With
RSEL today, we work with CASEL. Yeah, they're great.
So since it's very it focuses on those competencies, we decided to take on this program. We purchased the program last year, and we're having our classroom teachers deliver those weekly lessons, or even if it's twice a month, they're sitting with their students by classroom in small groups, kindergarten through fifth grade, and talking about those things that our students need in the social-emotional realm.
That is so cute. I have to ask you this. I'm going to swing over to Kalamazoo in just a second. But, Melissa, okay, A, how do the teachers react to this? You got to answer well because Marcy's going to get the same questions. Okay? So, Melissa.
Thanks, Melissa.
All right. So,
you're ready?
Welcome. So, it's like cheating. Marcy is my second period testing class. Your first period, Melissa. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
All right. Hey, how do you get the teachers involved? Let me finish this. And also, you're a school counselor. All right? When you're using full SEL, you must see a difference in the kids. I assume you do.
Yeah.
Okay? And just talk about those two things, how it's happening in Pennsylvania, Western PA, and then we'll go to Kalamazoo. So you do those.
Okay.
Melissa.
So our staff here, they are very willing to do the social and emotional piece of education in our building. We've never really had a problem with their buy-in. I actually talk to them about some of the things that they say to me. They will report to me, our students are having so many struggles just getting along. They can't problem solve for themselves. They have a lot of peer conflict. We have so many who cry, and they just get so emotional, and I don't know what to do. So once we started doing these kinds of things in the program and started to really teach and reinforce some of these social-emotional pieces, I talked to the teachers about, you know, you told me about this. How do you see the change? Do you see a change? Well, how about we do this? How about we teach the students problem solving, conflict resolution, those kinds of things? And they're really on board because they know that those things, those challenges and those difficulties within their classrooms really do take away from the education for the students and their ability to teach their students. So I really take what they're telling me and providing them with tools and ways to address those things within their classroom, because I'm only one person. I can talk with kids about these things. I do classroom lessons. We have our own curriculum here in our district, kindergarten through 12th grade. And I go into the classrooms and I do lessons, but I'm only one person. We have 18 classrooms. We have over 400 students. So I
and
can't
you're the
really
only
do it
school,
all.
You're the only school counselor, I assume?
Yes, I'm the only school counselor here. So they do recognize that, you know, I can jump in and do, you know, the higher level interventions that are needed, tier two, tier three, because we have, you know, our multi-tiered system that we work with too. So fine doing some of that tier one and those, you know, school-wide and classroom-based interventions as well.
And I'm just from a counselor's point of view, okay, have you seen a difference in the kids since you've been doing SEL? Has it been positive?
Yeah. Yes. We have a recognition program called West Point 100 Club. And they are eager to receive those tickets for our bingo board. And we have seen an increase in the kids wanting to show that positive behavior for that positive attention versus, you know, the opposite. So we have seen a great increase in that behavior and an increase in the type of language that we're using. And when I do have to meet with students, they know the methods and the things that we're teaching them, and they can tell me, you know, maybe I should have thought about that a little bit more.
Wow.
Or
saying,
you know,
something.
Let me think of solutions. So,
really, really cool. And school wide, you see a difference.
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Good.
Even perception from visitors who come in and parents come in, they have a lot of good feedback for us.
Good feedback is great. That means it's working. Marcy, what are your thoughts on that? By the way, I have to ask you, you're a behavior specialist, am I correct?
Yes, behavioral specialist.
Are you a counselor?
You know,
I'm just curious. Do you sit like with a black hood over your head in a darkened room with black candles burning and organ music, waiting for bad kids to come in?
No, not at all. In fact, I'm rarely in my office except for small groups. I am very much in the community of our school. But yeah, that stigma, I am familiar with that stigma. No, I'm basically just a support here for behavior. But I love what Melissa was I love what Melissa was talking about the matrix. And so that's one of the biggest things that we here at Northwood have done is we've taken our school-wide PBIS matrix and we've kind of put an SEL spin on it. And what I mean from that is obviously we all know that, you know, our cognitive skills are built around emotional platforms. Like, that's just a given. So if we are able to, you know, be able to name our feelings and we are able to tame them, so obviously we're going to do better academically, right? And so one of the things that we did, and the same as Melissa was saying, like our staff here at Northwood, you know, they already have that buy-in. But it's just basically the language. It's all about the language and how we're talking to the students, how we talk to each other. You know, me as being the behavioral specialist here, you know, we're able to ask those questions to, you know, our staff, like, you know, what quadrant, you know, color are they in? Are they in green? Are they yellow? Are they orange? You know, and having that common language that's around our building, it helps tremendously.
You know, and I have to ask you, how many elementary schools are in the district? I don't know your district. How many elementary schools are there?
So there are two elementary schools, K through three. Then there there's a 5-6 building north, and then we have a middle school and a high school. So I am at a K-3 building right now. So we have approximately a little over, I believe, 170-some students. I believe that number is a little higher. But that's what we service here. So we have two of every kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and third grade.
And let me ask you this, and even with kids that young, okay, and don't remember, we're coming out of this pandemic. I don't think I have to remind you guys that, okay? We're coming out of this pandemic, and I have to say, kids, they do see TV. They're around their parents. There's a lot of anger, hostility, you know, emotions that we normally see in children, we're seeing in adults, okay? And the kids see it too. Okay, and they could use some SEL, the people who are just going wacky on this instead of being civil about it. But my question is, okay, the kids that young, as they come out of the pandemic, all right, and through your school district, you guys are doing a great job at Northwood, but then they go on to the five to eight or whatever it is, the 3-5 elementary or whatever, okay? What happens then? I mean, as you said, is the whole school district involved in SEL? I'm just using that as an example in parchment. Yeah.
Yes, I wanted to say, first of all, you know, we have been, we've been awarded the MDE grant, us and 18 other districts that have been awarded this Michigan Department of Education grant. And so we are very excited to take the work that we're doing here at Northwood and expanding it into our other schools here in the Parkland district. Yeah, so that's new.
That's great.
And so, yeah, it's great things that are happening here in Parchment for sure. But let me just touch just a quick second, because you said, you know, how young, and yes, we do have the kindergartners. But I'll tell you, you know, our kindergartners, they are amazing at being able to say how they are feeling. And, you know, having worked in the middle school realm for over 20 years, you know, I was able to work with those kids with the behaviors that they displayed in the middle school and even in the high school realm. Down in the lower L, the kindergarten through third grade is really where those skills are learned and practiced. And so I think that, you know, kindergartners can get it too. They're able to tell you how they're feeling and what they need to be successful, you know. And so when you have those conversations and when our teachers are having those conversations with those students at even a very young age of kindergarten, you know, they're able to, you know, build relationships and open up doors so academics can happen, you know. I know Melissa was talking about some of the tier twos and tier threes that she's doing at her school. We also have morning meetings, and we've taken the FOSSIL curriculum, and we have embedded the morning meetings that is actually a tier one for all of our students here at Northwood.
Yep.
And so that's where, you know, we use those competencies, the CASEL 5, the CORE 5, and we're every single day they are getting some type of SEL. There's a 20-minute period that our principal has put in our teacher schedule that where the entire building is doing morning meetings, and that has been amazing.
Wow.
The kids you just see them talking, and it's just, it's a better atmosphere than before we started, definitely.
And congratulations to both of you and your colleagues, okay, for making this happen. It's so important, especially these days. It's just going to teach these kids how to be great citizens. Okay, and how to handle themselves and all that sort of stuff. Rick, let's go back to you and talk about Rosen, because you hear these two wonderful educators talking, all right? And you're the VP of Curriculum Solutions, okay? Where do you go from here? When you hear this kind of thing, and I know that you hear it all over the country, all right? What's the next step? How do you take that and create materials, et cetera? Rick Hasenjager.
When we create something like our Focus on SEL program, you know, part of my role is to interact with those that are using it because, you know, just like in the classroom, we look for feedback, whether it's based on student performance or comments from students or, you know, you take a look at their work. And so what I do is I work with our customers and I find out, you know, how is this working? What can we do to make it even better? This summer, we did an update to the instructional guide, which included some additional components like exit tickets so that teachers could use that as formative data to understand how are my students understanding the competencies and skills around SEL.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the types of things that I do in my role when something like this is done. And then we also then look and listen to customers like Marcy and Melissa to find out, what are some other needs? How else can we help? Because that's what our specialty is. That's where our expertise is.
It really is. And you know, I'm curious. Let me ask you this one. I'm going to go back to Melissa. Melissa, help me out here. Mm-hmm. Can you put the Rosen materials, okay, into action for me? How do the teachers actually use them? Can you help me on that? I'm just curious.
Well, there are grade level kits for all of the curriculum. So we purchased print copies, one for each grade level, and we also purchased the electronic version. So they have access to the printed and the electronic, and because it's literacy based, there's a small book or two for each of the lessons. So they start with the story or the book, and then they have a discussion with their students about that topic.
And let me ask you, you just said something. I just love this, literacy-based. Okay, and I'm a firm believer in that SEL is extremely important, but it needs to be part and parcel of the whole curriculum. It's kind of like we're talking about over here, and it's literacy-based. And I just want to ask this, and I'll ask Marcy the same thing. Do you find that the Rosen, how about I say this the right way, Rosen products, okay, for SEL, where do they fit into the curriculum? Is it strictly a reading and literacy, or do they fit into, like, history or science or anything like that? I'm just curious. How do teachers pop it in there?
Yeah, we see it as – we definitely have delivered it and presented it as something that's not in addition to, because our staff, our teachers are already overwhelmed So any way that they can tie it into any of the things that they're doing, to be honest with you.
That's good.
We are focusing in our lower grades. They do a lot of station work. So we are asking them to be, you know, to try to tie it into their stations where they're meeting with small groups of six. So, you know, reading the story in an even smaller group and doing it as part of one of their stations. You know, I've talked with our older grades, our teachers of our older grades to tie it in with ELA, English language arts. And,
that's kind of what I was
and
asking.
Do writing.
Yeah.
Do writings. And we've also, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Also talked with even in our health classes, because our teachers, they teach health class as well. So any time that they can just integrate it into some part of their already existing lessons.
And, you know, that's interesting you said, because I remember gym class when I was a little kid. Okay. All right. And that was like the aggressive time. Like you could play dodgeball and try to nail somebody hard with the kid and really with the ball. And really, okay, I've outgrown that, okay? But believe me, I've outgrown that. But my point is, when you just said health classes, it struck me that phys ed and health is a great place, because that's teamwork. That's physical work. That's a great place to do SEL stuff. Okay, I never thought of that before. But when you just said that, it reminded me of my misspent youth in the third grade gym class, all right? It was unbelievable. What's your thoughts on that, Marcia? Where do they integrate it? How do they do it? Marcy.
Well, I'll have to say, you know, last year was our first year using the FOSSIL curriculum, and I did 12 out of the 30 lessons that they have. And to be honest with you, I think that they do a very good job at hitting most just things in life, you know, whether it's, you know, we read a book about zebras and it's a, you know, it's a fictitious book. And then, you know, at the end of the book, they talk about real zebras and the history behind zebras, for example. You know, they talk about things when we get into the social awareness piece, you know, about other ethnic groups and other traditions of holidays that are all around the world. And so I think they do a really, really good job of not just like it's very what's the word I'm looking for? It's just, it's true life stuff that we all come in contact with, whether you're, you know, you're this color of your skin, the religion that you're, you know, practicing, you know, all of those things, politics, you know, they do a really good job at a course at the level, you know, the K-3, the curriculum that I'm familiar with. I really think that they do a really good job. Another way that our teachers are able to use them in the classroom is, you know, when I push out my morning meetings, because like Melissa had already mentioned, you know, our teachers are bogged down with lots of things. And so one of that piece of me being their behavioral specialist is that morning meeting piece, which I've already mentioned, but it has the FOSSIL curriculum in the morning meeting. So I'm using strictly that curriculum to put in, you know, my share question is usually our I can statements are usually, you know, they have questions right in the curriculum that I use for our activities and for, you know, sharing amongst others, and then the message that I'm giving them. So I use it all around the board, and even
all
with my small groups. Yep, is my tier two or tier three intervention. But basically, we use it. You know, we use the curriculum quite often, and pretty much anything that we do here at Northwood concerning the SEL curriculum. Yes.
I think it's great. I have a zebra joke for you, since you mentioned zebra. You ready? I finally finished reading the dictionary. The zebra did it.
The zebra did it. Nice.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
That is
I
a
might
good
have
one.
To use that with my little one.
Feel free.
I like telling
you,
them
Rick,
jokes. I may have
Rick,
to steal that one.
I finally finished reading the dictionary. The zebra did it. Okay.
The zebra did it.
Bad,
I might
I
have to use that too now.
Be my guest. It's a zebra. There's not that many zebra jokes around, so you got that one right in there. Okay, this is just great. You know, I'll tell you something. In this day and age, what you're doing to help these kids, and Rick, this goes back to you guys too, as a thought you put into all this at Rosen. I got to tell you, it's really meaningful, and it's going to pay off so well. Okay, over the next few years. It's more important. I say it's always been important, okay, but it's kind of always been over there. And suddenly we realized it can't be over there anymore. I'm talking about social-emotional learning, okay? And whatever the heck we call it, we're teaching kids to be good adults and respect each other and be good citizens, and that's what it's really all about. Right, Rick?
Right.
Yes, definitely.
Mm. You know, it's good stuff, I got to tell you. All right. Thank you all. We got to go. Okay. Continue. Have fun. It's almost Thanksgiving. Next vacation's coming up. Okay, Melissa? Okay,
thank
Mark?
You.
All right. And Rick,
wonderful.
Thanks a million, as always. This was great. Okay. I love you guys. You take care. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What great folks. Bye, Rick. Okay. Great folks. Rick Hazenjaeger, who's on here all the time. Dr. Rick. Not the one on Progressive Insurance. This is the real Dr. Rick, okay, is VP of Curriculum Solutions over at Rosen Publishing. It's a great company. It's rosencutclassroom.com, okay? Just go over there, check it all out. Melissa Chasilski, Melissa Chasilski over in Greenberg, PA, in Western PA, and Marcy Carter over in Northwood Elementary in the Parchment School District in Kalamazoo, Michigan. There is a Kalamazoo. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org, and there you can link to SEL today. All right, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening. Continue to be safe from this sticky pandemic, which is winding down.